Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory,
remembering.
Oh, what joy,
oh, what joy
they bring to me.
They bring to me.
How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh, what joy they bring to me,
how I long
once more to be
with my friends at the old country church. All my thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh, what joy
they bring to me. With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good evening. Greetings in Jesus' name. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to be with us now as we get into the Word this evening. And give us the right interpretation and understanding of the Word of Almighty God so that we can grow in faith and knowledge and closer in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. And be with us as we prepare to go into communion to remember our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in doing so. And in remembrance of the pain, the torture He went through, so that we can have life and eternal life with Him. Now be with us. And I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. You got everything ready. We'll get ready now for our communion. So take your bread. We know that on the night in which Jesus was betrayed, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." To take and eat your bread. And after the same manner also, He took the cup. So get your cup. And when He had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Drink your cup. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he comes. And we thank him for all he has done for us and all he does for us each and every day. And everything that we have, we owe it all to him. Now, we're going to be going into Acts chapter 9. And Acts chapter 9 is no little chapter. There's 43 verses to it. And a whole lot of information given to us with it. And I'm going to share information and all to see the accuracy of the information that is put into these study Bibles. All right. In verse 1, it says, "And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went unto the high priest." Wow. The persecution described in chapter 7 and 8 that we've gone through continues for some time, since Saul will not allow it to cease, even after the Christians are scattered from Jerusalem and Judea. Paul travels 150 miles to Damascus to harass them. Well, we know that this is true. The only thing is, he made that distance, but when he got to Damascus, he didn't get to harass him. That's when and where his life changed, and where he became a believer and all in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, 2, he went to the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. You see, he got letters and things giving him the authority to go into their own synagogues and things, to get anyone that was there in them that were believers and followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's still after. He's not been changed yet. Now, 3. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around about him a light from heaven. Now, we're going to see his change and how it came about. Now, here in 4. And he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks." You see there in 5, Saul is depicted as a rebellious beast that fights against the pride of its nest. He is persecuting Jesus in that he is afflicting the body of Christ. When someone does something for or against a Christian, Jesus Christ not only knows, but feels it just as we do. He is moved with the feeling of our infirmities. You see, he's bothered by the things that bother you and I, because number one, in the era of which you and I live, he lives within each one of us that are his. And he loves us. And things that are bothering us also bothers him. Now six, and he trembling and astonished said, Lord, what will I have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, arise, go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. But you see, for him to get the rest of the way into Damascus, into the city, he got to have help. Seven, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no man. They hear the voice, but they couldn't see no one. Eight, and Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were opened, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. You see, his sight is gone. Now, they had to lead him into the city. Nine, and he was 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. Been 3 days without sight and fasting. Does he neither eat nor drink? Now, 10. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. You see, some changes now are getting ready to happen and to take place. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street, which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. 12. And has seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hands on him that he might receive his sight. The Lord's letting Ananias know that Saul does know about it. 13. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he has done to thy saints at Jerusalem. 14. And here he has authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. And Ananias has known all of this too. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and the kings and the children of Israel. 16, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And you know, starting back with these verses from 7 and coming through 16, the men which journeyed with Saul are important as witnesses to this event. And Saul is not experiencing some emotional or traumatic seizure. Someone is communicating with Saul as these men bear witness. A study of Paul's two parallel accounts in chapter 22 and 26 makes the events clearer. So we're going to be getting into more of this a little further along. This verse says that the men stood speechless, but this must be understood to say that whereas Saul continued to lie on the ground that Jesus spoke of him, these men were able to get up because they all had fallen to the ground also. This verse says that the witness heard a voice, whereas 22:9 says they did not hear the voice. This seemingly contradiction has two possible explanations. First, could be said that the witness heard Saul's voice, but did not see anyone to whom Saul could be speaking, whereas 22:9 says, they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. They neither saw nor heard anyone. The second explanation takes note of the Greek grammar and seems to fit the meaning of the passage better. Chapter 9 says that the witness heard a voice. Chapter 22 says that they did not hear the voice. The first form allows hearing that may or may not involve understanding. The latter form involves hearing and understanding. Hence, chapter 9 apparently says that the witnesses heard without understanding the voice of the one who spoke to Saul. And chapter 22 says that they did not hear with understanding, thus saying the same thing. A compatible situation occurred when God spoke from heaven to Jesus, but many in the crowd only disconcerned it as thunder. You see, they can hear things, but they don't have the understanding and don't hear as the one that the Lord is actually talking to. And today, there can be two or three of us together, and he can be talking to one of us in the midst. Or we hear him, and they'll hear something, but they're not getting an understanding of really what it is to understand whether it is actually speaking words or as he said, here there is a place where they talk about hearing thunder. Well, we read that back in the four Gospels. Now, you see, because it depends on the situation of those that are present and whether they are the children of God or whether they are not, on what they hear and how they hear. Because I will tell you this, The Word of God does not contradict itself. No. Now, 17. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way, as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightst receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, you know, that even Saul's commission does not come directly from God, but through a God-appointed disciple. By contrast, his apostolic authority did come directly from Christ, not by succession through one of the apostles. Now, you see, he has told one thing here, but he was not given an appointment by Ananias. He was told what was happening, but he hadn't really got the appointment as of that time. 18. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. 19. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. There were some disciples already there. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogue that he is the Son of God. He's already preached in the synagogues. 21. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priests? They can't believe in what they're seeing and hearing, this change in this man. 22. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. Because of the change, this drastic change, because with him, it was a drastic change. Now 23. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him. But their laying awake was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him. Then the disciples took him by night and let him down by the wall in a basket. The many days of verse 23 allows for Saul's lengthy stay in Arabia. But apparently after his conversion and brief stay in Damascus, Saul spent over 2 years alone with God in a desert region receiving revelation Then, after another brief ministry in Damascus, he fled to Jerusalem, returning to that city 3 years after he first left for Damascus. And I want you to also stop and think about this. You see, he didn't go back and learn from man anything about the Lord Jesus or how to preach or anything. He learned that from the Lord himself 2 years out there in the desert. And that is what we are needing today. More men that are taught by the Lord and the Holy Spirit than through seminary and by man. Because those that are taught by the Holy Spirit and the Lord Jesus Christ, when they come teaching, they're going to be coming with the truth of God's word and not contradicting any part of God's word. But they're going to be giving you all of it. And they'll be standing in boldness, not walking around any subject, nor anyone. That's what should be behind every podium, but it's not. Most of our podiums are filled with those that have been through seminary, or as you've heard me say before, cemetery, because they come out preaching about a Jesus they don't even know. And they're not obeying. They let him down the basket there in 25. Here in 26, and when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. See, they're not. The disciples are not believing. They, of all people, should have accepted it. But they're not, because of his past life. And that's what I tell you. When you come out of darkness and you come to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you accept him as your Savior, you repent of your sins, you are forgiven, and your life begins to change, first things you are going to meet are a lot of your supposedly friends that will not believe you changed. And what they're seeing, they want no part of. Now, 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto him how he had seen the Lord in the way that he had spoken to him, and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. 28, and he was with them coming in and going out at Jerusalem. Now he's with a few of the apostles. 29, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Another group wanted to kill him too. 30, which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him forth to Tarsus. 31, then had the churches spread throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria, and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multitude, were they are growing, these believers are. 32. And it came to pass as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydia. And there he found a certain man named Onesimus, which had kept his bed 8 years and was sick prowls. Or palsy. 34. And Peter said unto him, Onesimus, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydia and Saron saw him and turned to the Lord. You see, this is why we need men that will give their lives to the Lord so that our churches can be filled with the power of Almighty God. You see, that is what will bring people to know that the Lord Jesus is who we say he is. And we'll find more turning. Now, 36. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which was interpretation, by interpretation, is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds, which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. 38. And forasmuch as Lydia was nigh to Joppa, and disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Now this woman had died, and they had already washed her and everything when they put her in an upper chamber. But they sent for Peter. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up, and he gave her his hand and lifted her up. And when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. 42. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. 43. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon a tanner. We have come to the end of chapter 10. But we have seen here how people react. And that's why we are not seeing the reaction out of mankind today that we need to see is because of the lack of the power of Almighty God in our churches and the work of Him and for Him is missing. And until they will repent and get back into His Word and get in the Holy Spirit back into the church and active, and we, if we keep going like we're going now, we're going to lose our land. And as far as this land's concerned, all rights to be able to teach openly the word of Almighty God. It's time that the churches wake up and repent and get back into the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, teaching the truth and standing boldly, doing the work of the Lord our God in healing the sick and the lame, the blind, the deaf, and anything else that is standing between mankind and the Lord. But you see, it takes time and it takes prayer, and the men we have don't want to take either one. And they want to go their own way, seeking things of this world instead of things of Almighty God. Think about it. I'm going to leave you with that for the night. Give you something to really think about. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we close your word, I thank you for this word, Father. And I thank you for the Holy Spirit and for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, I thank you for the times that we can come together to share this word, not only with those that are with us, but those that call in and join us on the internet, but all that will hear this word later even, that will download it and listen to it, or that will hear it from someone that has heard it as it was taught. Father, we pray now for Israel. We know, Father, that the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died and was resurrected on the cross, spent that 40 days here on earth. And then he ascended into heaven. Everything changed. He had fulfilled the law. They need to come out from that law and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and as their Messiah and move under grace. And Father, that's what I pray for. In this land of ours, there's so much evil. We know where it comes from, Father, where it has come from. Most of it has come out of those that are holding office in high places, Father, that they can be removed from office, Father, and replaced with ones that are walking in righteousness, that love you and love the Lord Jesus, love your church and your people, and love this land. And that we'll use those offices to work with us to help us to bring this land to repentance, that put our government back upon the foundation in which it was founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Father, I pray for each and every one that's in my heart, because they are close with me, Father, through this teaching. Kenny Powers, Dennis Lee, Amy, Tom, Jacob, Molly and Millie, James Taylor, my wife, Sue Branson, Daryl and Debbie, myself, Lord, our families, our children, our grandchildren, our great-grandchildren, Father, and every member of our family. May the Holy Spirit work with them to help those that are still in darkness to see that they need more than what they have, and that they need to straighten up and walk right in the right way, that they need the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they'll come out of that darkness to the light, and that light being Jesus, and repent and straighten up their lives, Father, so that none be lost. Now, Lord, be with us all as we separate for the night. Keep us in health. Keep us safe. And bring us together again in the morning, Father, and back into your word at 10 a.m. This I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, all. I pray you have a good night. Hold on to God. He'll hold on to you. Have a good one.